Welcome to the SFDC Consultant Podcast. Last week, I shared a discussion that might be useful in case you are planning to start your own Salesforce consultancy. Today, I'm happy to share a discussion with Pat McClellan, and I hope that it will provide you with a number of insights on how to start a Salesforce App Exchange business. Pat has been running his application called Proton Text for a few years. The story is interesting because Pat did not have any prior development knowledge or even Salesforce consultancy knowledge. He learned everything from Trailhead and by trial and error. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Pat.
Hi, I'm Pat McClellan. I am Chief Lightning Officer of Proton 7 Group. And that title generally goes over pretty well in the Salesforce Ohana. Of course, anybody that sees my business card that doesn't know Salesforce wonders what in the world is a Chief Lightning Officer. I gave myself that title because I'm a company of one and I could pick any title I wanted. And I really am a champion of Lightning. I am a Lightning champion. And it also sort of designates, sort of stakes out the ground that I'm not really interesting in looking backwards. I really am focused on building new things, taking advantage of the latest technologies. So that's from the time I started learning Salesforce 3 years ago. Lightning was already out, but still most people were on VisualForce or were still in Classic using VisualForce. And I figured I can either spend my time learning the new technology that they're continuing to develop or spend time learning old technology that is never going to improve. And that choice was easy. So from the beginning, I started calling myself a Lightning engineer. And then when I finally launched my project, my app on the App Exchange, I changed my title. I gave myself a promotion to Chief Lightning Officer.
To anyone out there that is a company of one, there's no shame in calling yourself the president, chief, or CEO, CMO, et cetera. Whatever gets you in the meeting, whatever gets you that sale, you have to go there. What I wanted to touch upon is your app and how you decided that there's the app for you. I know you've had some background or you were aware, I guess, of Twilio, of Salesforce, of course, but in terms of making that connection and understanding, okay, well, I have this piece of technology on that does communication. I have this piece of technology that does CRM and data input from users, et cetera, around, I guess, cases, leads, opportunities. What can I do there? What was your thinking process around your app? And can you give just a brief overview in terms of what the app does?
Sure. So I have an application on the App Exchange. It's called Proton Text. And it is an SMS application. So imagine if you had the one-to-one messenger from your phone, from your iPhone or your Android phone, and you could slap it up on the screen inside any Salesforce page, any record page, or in a console app so that you could text to anybody you want to. That's what I built. I when I started learning Salesforce in 2017, I really was new to the platform. I had been an occasional user in the past in my previous career. My previous career was in marketing. And so I was sort of familiar with what Salesforce was intended to do, although mostly just Sales Cloud. And when I started learning it and understanding the platform capabilities and learned about App Exchange products, I was looking and just was stunned that this major form of communication that more and more people used as a routine part of their business was not built into the platform. It seemed very strange to me, a big oversight, or another way to look at that is a big opportunity. There are definitely some SMS applications out there, but the ones that are out there were really built for marketing blasts. They were built for high volume texting. And they were built on the Classic platform. And even in 2017, even though they had restyled themselves in SLDS to look like Lightning, in fact, it was the old mentality where to use the app, you had to leave the Sales Cloud or leave your sales app and move over to their app and do your texting there and then go back. And that just seemed completely the antithesis of what Lightning was all about. Lightning is about a connected, integrated workflow. It's not just about the styling on the page. And so I thought, whatever page I'm on, I should be able to bring up a text window and text to that person. or link this conversation to this record. So there's a big opportunity if you brought your iPhone Messenger onto Salesforce. Then the next big hurdle is, how do I connect it to Salesforce records in order to make these more useful and in order to sort my list? So one of the things that I built in right away was, has record ID. So you drop my one-to-one messenger on a page, the component goes standalone. It'll be in a card on any page anywhere you want it, or it'll drop into a tab or in a console utility, and it knows where it is. Salesforce has given you that hook to say, here's the record ID. And then what can you do with that? Well, for starters, you can say, bring me all the conversations that are related to this record. Next, if you want to text somebody and you're on a contact record or a lead record, it just assumes that's who you want to text. If you're not on that, if you're on an opportunity record, for example, you click new conversation, it looks at that opportunity. It says, hey, there's an associated account. Let's go and bring back all of the contacts related to this account and put those in the potential recipient list. And basically, I'm just shortening the search. I'm taking the search out of it to present you with the most obvious choices. So there was this really interesting opportunity to merge texting communications with the sort of connection that Lightning Platform provides. And I thought that I could make a better app than was what was out there that I had seen. So I started building it.
That makes total sense. And the other thing to mention, Nishant, what you said, it's not really always being the first or always bringing something new. Sometimes you can come along, and if you do it better, then that may actually be a benefit because people are already in the mentality, well, I need this product. But actually, there's someone else that does it better. So you don't have, quote unquote, kind of to convert new users, if it makes sense, to this.
Absolutely. You can look at my background was video production. And back in the 80s and 90s, when I was doing that, there were two home options. You could go Betacam or Betamax, or you could go VHS. Well, Betamax was first. Betamax was best. The video quality is arguably a lot better than VHS. But what they didn't understand from a marketing standpoint was that just having a superior technology and just being first is not enough to sustain the market. VHS came along and they thought about things that were a little bit different than just the technical specs. They thought about the user. They thought about who is using this, how are they getting this, and what are they wanting to record? And the first Betamax would record up to 90 minutes. Well, that's not enough for a movie or a football game. And so VHS came along and said, hey, we've got this thing. You can set it on extra long play and record for 6 hours. And, you know, it looks like crap, but you can get the whole ball game on there. And the other thing they did was smart marketing in terms of licensing. They said Betamax was Sony. And Sony said, we're the only ones that can make it. VHS said, hey, we're going to license this technology to everybody. We're going to flood the market. So the VHS is the only viable option for people to buy. And it worked. So being first isn't, I think there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are scared out of the market because, oh, there already is one, right? I had a moment like that. I knew there were other apps out there. There's SMS Magic and there's 360 SMS. And you know, these are the gorillas, the 800-pound gorilla in the market. They've got thousands of customers for a decade. They're on other platforms besides Salesforce as well. So they're so much more established than me. I'm just the little guy, right? Well, for starters, as a little guy, I don't have to be number one. I can make a decent living by being number three or four. And it gives me the opportunity to really build the product I want to buy, not to compete with them on their terms, to build my market. And that allows me to put the emphasis on the product where I want to and where I think my customers need it. So my client base is very different from those others. And that's okay with me. That's fine. I'm not looking to have 20 or 30 huge enterprise clients that force me to have an engineering team on call and a support team and all of that. I've got a couple of dozen customers, and many of them are nonprofit and small business. I've got a lot of realtors and insurance agents and smaller companies with somewhere between 5 and 50 users. And the product works best for them. It really meets their needs. It's intuitive. They're just super happy with it. And when they call the company, the phone in my pocket rings and I answer the phone and I talk to them. I can't tell you how many customers I've gotten just because I answered the phone. They said, yeah, we've called the two or three other companies. You're the first one that answered. And it makes a difference.
In terms of your app itself, how did you actually get to that idea? Was it because of your background or did you do a bit of research or how did you end up on that?
Well, for starters, I should say that I didn't start building Proton Text on the basis of what is a great product that I can put on AppExchange, right? I had started learning Salesforce in June of 2017, and I was full-time on it. I got to be a trailhead ranger in 5 weeks. By 2 months in, or the ninth week, I got my admin certification. The 13th week, I got my platform app builder. And 2 months later, I got Platform Developer 1. So I was full-time learning. I was just cramming it in there. And I thought, oh, these certifications are great. They're going to get me a job right away. Now, I was looking for consulting. I'm a career changer. I was 55 at the time. And I wasn't looking to move somewhere and become a full-time. I wasn't looking to build a big career. I was looking to become a consultant, to do consulting for small to medium size customers and you know, help them out with Salesforce. The problem is that after I got all those certifications, and especially after Platform Developer 1, I got a lot of headhunters pinging me in my email, as many of you have, and they said, great, send us a resume. And I sent them the resume, and they looked at it, and one of them said, look, I can get you a job as a chief marketing officer, but I can't get you a job as a developer. You don't have anything on your resume that says what you're doing other than these three certifications, and that doesn't really count for much without the experience. And I thought, well, okay, there's a harsh reality slapping me in the face. Let's figure out a different plan. If I've got no experience and no one will hire me to give me experience, then I'm going to have to make my own experience. And so I thought, I've got to build an app to prove my capabilities. What are the capabilities that I want to prove? I want to prove my programming chops. I want to prove my UI chops. I want to build an app that is easy to explain to people. I mean, I didn't want to come up with something. I tell people I've got an SMS texting app that works in Salesforce. We're done. They get it, right? Maybe I can add the second sentence that says, oh, it does one-to-one texting, automated texting, and text blasts. And everything you need to know about what that product is, right? So I wanted something that I could explain. And I wanted something that was challenging from a programming standpoint, more than just pulling together some custom objects and some validation rules and some automation and some triggers. I wanted something that forced me to build, to integrate with an external API. And I was familiar with Twilio from my previous career. And I wanted something that would force me to do some asynchronous APEX and would do callouts and would be challenging so that anybody that knew technology would know, oh, okay, if he did that, then he must know how to do this other stuff, right? And so with that challenge ahead of me, I started learning. And every day for about 3 months was learning something new. I started literally on my Thanksgiving vacation in 2017. That was our 25th wedding anniversary right at Thanksgiving. And so we took the family to Hawaii. And after we arrived, we were in a condo and we'd been there 2 hours. And I stood up and I kicked the base of the couch and broke my toe. And so I was stuck in the room for 5 days as my family enjoyed Hawaii. And so I sat there trying to figure out how do I create CSS to look like a little talk bubble, right? I mean, I started at the very beginning just with pieces. And piece by piece, day by day, I learned more and more and more. And by February, enjoying it so much that I thought, well, we've gone past the point of proving my skill sets. By mid-December, I was sending and receiving messages. So I had gotten that base part of it. And then after that, it was just design and UI and added features and linking it into the capabilities of the platform. So by probably February, I decided, what, I'd rather do this than work on somebody's dirty org and converting their Visual Force pages to Lightning components. Let's do this. And so I thought, well, let's develop, really go full-time, see how fast I can get this on AppExchange. And it was on AppExchange by September. So about 9 months, really, to go from beginning this project to getting it on AppExchange.
I'll probably say the rest of us look a bit unmotivated, let's just say, when you put it that way. You literally started a career change. You learned how to be a developer. You learned Lightning, not even went on the Apex side to see a back-end type person. And on top of that, you didn't do a custom objects, fields, relationships, and validation rules app. You literally went something which is a quote-unquote kind of small app when you see it, but actually behind it, it has a lot of technology that supports it. Now, the one thing I wanted to get your view on is, and this is potentially for anyone that is thinking about, do you have an opinion after going through that process, what sort of apps would, or what sort of sectors would be useful to explore within Salesforce? And also, what's your take on the ISV versus OEM, the idea of like having sure. like a plugin type thing versus the entire app? What, in terms of someone starting on this path?
I think that the apps that people think of, if you are a developer or a consultant working in Salesforce every day, and you come up with an app, it's likely to be an app that is, you're an ISV partner, you're coming up with an app that runs on the platform, right? You're looking, you see a business need for users of the platform that you can build an app for. That's what I did. I was learning the platform. I thought, what can I build that will go on this? Mine is not vertical specific. As I was going through the process with the team that supports AppExchange, they're very smart marketers, and they say, all right, narrow down your target. Who is the target user at a company? What is the size of the company? What is the industry sector? And I kept just sort of shaking my head and laughing and saying, it's a texting app. Everybody can use it. Every industry needs this. Every size business needs this, right? So that was a little challenging. So I went for the broad appeal. I went for an app. You can sort of think of it in terms of the way that you charge for it, the business model behind it. I went for an app that I literally make a penny per text. I mean, think of that as a penny or two per text that people are sending. If I'm going to get rich, it's going to be on a stream of pennies. So, which is okay, right? But it's not the same as an OEM app, right? So I've got a friend who's got an app, Jason Holt, has got an app called Anvil Apps, brilliant guy. And what he did was he had been working for a John Deere dealership, and I guess John Deere is an international brand. Everybody knows it's heavy equipment. They sell to agriculture and construction, and John Deere dealerships all over the US and probably around the world too, they've got their own IT needs. Well, he worked at a John Deere dealership, and he thought their IT system was not great. There were some big holes in it. He left John Deere. He went and started working at a bank and learned Salesforce and thought, wow, this would really work. This would really work. And so he started thinking about how could I adapt the Salesforce platform that would be ideal for John Deere dealerships. And so now he's selling his app, Anvil app, into John Deere dealerships where they don't have Salesforce. They don't know about Salesforce. They just know Anvil app. Now he's making big money per user per month. And realistically speaking, he's probably going to be able to support, I don't know, a dozen major clients and make a really great business out of that. From my end, I need thousands of users to generate the volume, but it's a much easier sale because convincing somebody to try this for 2 weeks for free and then have a monthly cost for their SMS texting of $60 a month, that's a pretty easy sell, right? So it depends on where you're coming from. My friend Jason, he came from a domain experience. He understood the needs of a particular industry segment and then applied Salesforce to that. I came to it from understanding Salesforce and what it could do and looking at, well, what's a common need that a lot of people would have that's easy to explain.
The approach that I took when building my app, To be honest, I didn't really have any experience when it came to the sector, like education sector, like schools, primary schools, etc. But the colleague that I built this with, I think his parents were school teachers, And he heard all the negatives from there. And he said, should we just have a crack at this? And then we got there. So I guess the key lesson there is use your background, use your existing knowledge, use your existing connections, and try to fit something in there, because a bit of business context to that, it will also help you potentially in terms of what you're doing, in case you're doing something more complex, in case you're doing a common need. Like you said, a common need is a common need. You don't really need to know business context. People will send text messages for a range of reasons from Salesforce, I guess.
Yeah, I think one thing that both of those have in common, this is absolutely essential to building a good app, is you really have to understand your user. What do they need? How are they going to use this? What do they want? What would delight them? You really have to think about that user experience from the start. If you don't have a good sense of exactly how people might use this, and therefore what features they might want to have for it, then you're going to miss the mark on your product. It doesn't matter how brilliant the technology or the coding is. You really have to approach it from the need. How are people using this? And that applies to OEM and to I don't know, what's the counterpart? Component? I don't know.
I think it's just ISV. I think in terms of the ISV, the independent, and afterwards, that's in itself broken down into ISV specific, which are the individual components, and then OEM on the side where you're basically selling the licenses on that. Now, the last thing that I want to touch upon this is probably like just till the proof of concept point. What would you recommend? And I guess this does have it's probably a question where the first answer is, well, it depends. But I would want to have your take on this. Is how would you think about development? Because you took the approach of I'm going to learn the platform, and then you ended up in this situation by quote unquote by mistake, like I'm trying to prove my knowledge. Well, actually, I've built an app, I'm gonna run with it. But someone thinking from an entrepreneurial point of view, I'm trying to, you know, start a business on this. What's your recommendation of approaching this? Should they potentially spend a bit of time on at least understanding and learning a bit of the platform, probably putting the basic pillar or the basic base themselves? Or they should probably just try to connect with someone that does the technical part and they can take it together from there. What's your view on that?
Well, I mean, I think of myself as a maker. And I define that term in the modern sense that a maker is someone who is a serial learner of new skills in order to not necessarily master any one of the skills, but in order to achieve the final product that you're trying to build, right? So I learned each of the skills that I needed for whether it was UI design or the Lightning web components or the asynchronous Apex or whatever. I learned it because I had a specific need to do it. I learned what I needed to accomplish that goal. And so that's part of my mentality. I think that a lot of entrepreneurs sort of sabotage themselves with reasons. It's so easy to think up reasons not to proceed with an idea. I've said it before. One of my favorite quotes is entrepreneur is a French word that means had an idea, did it, right? And that second part is the important part. There are tons of people out there that think of themselves as entrepreneurs or as inventors or as creators, and they just have all these ideas and they spend their life watching other people execute on them, and they say, well, now it's already out there. I guess I can't do that, right? And you sabotage yourself. Don't worry about being first. Worry about having an idea and taking it through and not always finishing it. But I think that creativity and entrepreneurship, the successful ones will agree that ideation and creativity is a muscle. You have to exercise it. And so I've had ideas for three or four other apps that I start on and I learn some skills and I build a MVP of, what is that, the minimum viable product, right? Just sort of a working model to test things out. And I talk to a lot of people about it and show them the idea. I get their feedback. And sometimes I pivot. Sometimes I say, oh, all right, well, I thought it was going to be this, but everybody else sees it as this. So let's pivot the way I'm positioning it and develop these features instead. Or I abandon it I say, okay, it's clear this is not going forward, right? An example of that is when we were all in lockdown. I thought what I would really like, I would like an app on my phone that when I encounter people, I could scan a QR code on their phone, and it would immediately tell me what risk I am assuming by interacting with this person. How many other people has this person seen in the last 2 weeks, right? So because 2 weeks seems to be the incubation period or whatever. And I thought this is like bubbles. It's sort of contact tracing, except all the contact tracing to that point had been about sort of institutional government or companies sort of retroactively, when you find somebody who's infected, saying, let's make a list of everybody you've had contact with. What if proactively you could scan people? And so if someone in your network, someone that you've had contact through this app, had contact with somebody with three levels away that was infected, as soon as they tested positive, everybody in that chain would get the notification. So I started developing this. I realized that Salesforce database was probably not the best way to do it. It was going to require a graph database, would be a faster, much faster processing speed. And I would have to build this on Heroku. And so I set up a Heroku account and I learned the graph database. And I spent about 4 weeks learning these skills and putting together a model for this. Meanwhile, I'm talking to lots of people about it. And overall, the response was, I don't think you'll get people to comply with it. Right? People won't want to do it. I don't know how you're going to monetize this to pay for the processing. Even if you're not looking to make a profit of it, you're going to have costs associated with it. And basically, ultimately, the contact tracing apps that were out there were getting such a bad rap for privacy invasion and for cost and all of that, that I decided, yeah, I'm not going to pursue that one. But I had about a 4 to 6 week period where my mind was racing and I was charging out of bed every morning to learn something new. That's an important muscle. And so when I abandoned it, I was sad about, I guess that's not going to work out. But mostly I was sad because I'd been learning something new every day. And now let's move on to the next thing, right? So it's a muscle. You have to flex it. You have to not get down on yourself if you start developing an idea that doesn't go all the way through. I've probably had a dozen ideas for different apps or different companies over the years that I have not followed through to the end. So it's not about absolutely finishing it, but the did it part of had an idea, did it. The did it part is at least I explored it. I pushed it to determine if it was viable. I tried to bring this thing to life. I learned as much as I could about this market, about how it would be positioned. Thinking about the positioning and the marketing is as important as thinking about the technology, right? Trying out the way you pitch it to different people. And suddenly you've built a network of people you're talking to that think of you as a big ideas guy. And so suddenly they're bringing you ideas. So I would encourage everybody to start flexing your muscle on ideation. And don't just come up with a good idea, write it down. Figure out what are the next steps? What are the things you would have to learn? What are the obstacles? Both marketing obstacles and technical obstacles.
Makes sense. Pat, last thing from my side is to say thank you for your time. I think your experience and advice comes from a place of trial and error, like you've explained. Anything else that you want to mention in case people want to follow, see what you're doing, see the app, where would they find that out?
Sure. So easiest thing, just remember the name of the app is Proton Text, and you can go to protontext.com to learn about the app. You can also find it on AppExchange. I will mention that the blast feature is called Proton Blaster, and I built that because who doesn't want to build a Proton Blaster? And so I think you'll enjoy, check out the site, Proton Text. I also built another app that I have not put on AppExchange. Again, I don't know if it's marketable, viable, and it's not inexpensive to put something through security review for AppExchange, but you can find that at Proton Toaster. ProtonToaster.com. I'll just let you go there and discover what that one is. So thanks for your time and check out my apps.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoy the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.